Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of McManacost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled The Necessity of the Word of God in Our Diabolic Times. The Hebrew expresses it this way. It uses the term Debar Yahweh to refer or to speak of the Word of God. In the dynamic Hebrew perception of the Word of God, it is important to realize that the Debar Yahweh refers to that which is concrete and that which immediately sets the receiver in, or places the receiver thereof in, a new reality or a new situation. And so when one reads from the Old Testament, for instance, that the Word of God came to, more specifically, it should read, and the Word of God happened so-and-so. And so, Debar means event. The Debar Yahweh, it is a very compelling and dynamic perception of the reality of the Word of God. There is nothing static about the Word of God. It is alive. Moses told his own people in the Songs of Deuteronomy, in those marvelous messages, Moses said, "This word is your life. This word is your life." And so it is very important to understand the spirit of the Hebrew perception of the Word of God, and also the Greek understanding of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul will say in the Greek New Testament, that is, if one believes that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, that the Word of God is alive. Notice the state of being verb. The Word of God is alive. It's animated. It is life-giving. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Again, there's a dynamic perception of the Word. So, I wanted to read some very important passages from the Old Testament regarding the necessity of the Word of God and how our lives, our very beings, are involved with this Word. Now, in the biblical documents, the Word of God is totally unlike the formulated spirituality that is about today in the West. Formulated spirituality believes that there is a general spirituality that can be nailed down with words, or a statement, or a sentence. And that approach misses the mystery of biblical spirituality, which is united with a deep awareness of the person of God. This is what Amos records about a culture, about the people of God, who have set aside the all-important necessity of the Word of God in their lives. This is what Amos writes in Amos chapter 8. This is Amos 8:11. Quote, "The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Man will stagger from sea to sea and will wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, so they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young women and the strong young men will faint because of thirst." Now, it is interesting that the prophet Amos records that because of the bitterness of the time, the punishment that is spoken about in Amos chapter 8 is augmented by the withdrawal of the Debar Yahweh. There will be a compelling emptiness of soul. There will be a spiritual emptiness within the souls of the people. Just think about our own day, in which the mystery of true spirituality and the mystery of a true relationship with God has been removed from the souls of young people, so that the technologies that have been put in place can take over their lives. It is important to understand the Trojan horse analogy with regard to this very diabolic scheme. Create technologies that will take over their lives and yet distract them from what is really going on. Create a manipulated mindset, create manipulated perception that will be unquestioned, thus ensuring control. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, had these words, beginning in Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds. They break all bounds. And bloodshed follows bloodshed. Please notice what Hosea writes in verse 3. Because of this, because of these behaviors, the land mourns. And all who live in it waste away. Well, literally, the head hangs down. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. Please understand the connection between what goes on in culture and what happens to the land itself. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that the creation is in bondage, eagerly awaiting for its deliverance. Human sin impacts the environment. The Hebrews had no word for nature. And Paul uses the word physis, which refers to persons, but he does not have a word for nature as such. Human behavior directly impacts God's creative order. The earth is a living organism. The earth is not a thing to be manipulated. The earth is a living organism. Today, we are told that scientists are baffled as to where the earth got its water. Well, read Genesis. And read 2 Peter. It is a very powerful awareness that we have through the Word of God. That God is in control. Verse 3, Hosea states that because of this, the land mourns. Now, in verse 1, Hosea writes that the Lord has a charge to bring against you. That is, God is bringing legal action against his people. God is bringing a lawsuit against his people. In myth, in Hebrew, is a word for truth. There is no truth that is firmness or stability. There's no acknowledgement of God in the land. Verse 2, there's only cursing and lying and murder, stealing and adultery. And so here we see that the Ten Commandments, as given in Exodus chapter 20, have been totally set aside. And the Ten Commandments are called apodictic law, that is, law from which there is no recourse. But we read in verse 2 that they break all bounds. Want to know what happens when God is tossed out? When religious atheists say there is no God? This is what's happened. There's a breakdown of society, and there's religio-moral chaos. Atheism has no compelling foundation, because if God is not there, atheism has no foundation for any moral absolutes. Atheism can only defend itself by being self-absorbed, by being myopic, by being intellectually microscopic. Atheism cannot generate an ethic. Hence, it's incredible hubris, and moral bankruptcy. God says, here in Hosea 4:4, but let no man bring a charge, let no man accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 is a very famous verse. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest, because you have ignored the law of your God. In Hebrew, the word ignore means to wither or to forget. God also writes, I also will ignore your children. Now, in Hebrew, in verse 6, where it reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the word destroy there means to be silent. This is a very deep verse, and it will take a very long time to go through it as I should. But I don't have the time to do that today. I want to read to you down from Ezra chapter 7, verse 8. Let me start with verse 6. We read in Ezra 7:6, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month. He arrived in Jerusalem, Jerusalem, on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. I love verse 10, the next verse. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. The name Ezra means help. And how today, in our time, in our diabolic times, we need men like Ezra. We need men in the spirit of Ezra, whom we can give the name help. Verse 10, for Ezra had devoted himself. He is Yahweh's man. Ezra had devoted himself. Or in the Hebrew, it is the hifil causative active, which means he caused himself. He caused himself to be devoted to the study and observance of the Word of God. He caused himself. This is a wonderful verse, verse 10. There are three infinitive constructs used in this verse. Also the Hebrew perfect, which means completed action. He, Ezra, had devoted himself, that is, to set, to establish himself in the study and observance, He knew that life had to measure up to the study of the Word of God. Ezra did not merely memorize scriptural verses. He metabolized, as Ezekiel had done. He metabolized the Word. We live only on metabolized doctrine, not on verses that we have memorized. We must metabolize the truth. The truth must become a part of us. We must eat the Word of God. We must eat the Word of God. In the natural realm, what we eat turns into us. We are what we eat. Period. If we do not have a proper diet of the Word of God, then we can't properly follow Him. If we have a proper and an appropriate diet of the Word of God, then our discipleship experience. Ezra had devoted himself, had caused himself to be devoted to the study and observance of the Torah of the Lord. And not only that, to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Notice what we have: study, observation, and teaching. is with a living pedagogy, which is so missing in our day. We need to return to the Word of God. We need to get back to the Word of God in a very real manner. Our day demands it. Our time demands it. That we get back to the truth, to the image. We need this to live out this living example. We need for God to raise a man whose names are helper, Ezra. But God's people must first turn away from sin. And we must agree with God that we have sinned. 1 John 1:9. If we agree with God that we have sinned, that is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But one of the results of sin, one of the symptoms of sin, is flight from reality. We can believe that we are okay, and the flesh can lull us to sleep. The flesh can lull us into believing that we are okay. We're pretty good. We have it all together. But I read in Scripture that a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, You will not despise. We cannot afford to allow culture to speak to us about the gravity of sin, because the culture is in denial of its true state. The patient does not want to really acknowledge his or her true condition. So it goes with culture. Culture does not realize its dire state. This is why this show is entitled The Necessity of the Word of God in Our Diabolic Times. How does one convince a dead culture that it can only live if it accepts the Word of God? That will require the Spirit of God. As the Holy Spirit spoke to Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit said, Son of man, can these dead bones live? Ezekiel rightly stated, Thou knowest, O Lord. It is imperative that we get in touch with what is missing. We have been disconnected from our true condition, and we need God's Word to direct us in this day. We need God to lead us out of our spirit of captivity at this day. I need God to direct us.